Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about the astrology, human design, gene keys, energies for today. So here we are. It's Wednesday. We are just 2 days from the new moon. And so I thought what we would do today is talk about the new moon, particularly because tomorrow I won't be on air in the morning. I'll be on the Ascension and Astrology show in the afternoon, where I probably won't have an opportunity to talk about the new moon. And Friday, I'll be boarding an airplane at 6:15 my time, headed for Debbie's part of the country to embark on our cruise on Saturday. So today will be the only day we could really talk about that. So we are going to do that this morning. And we will also talk a little bit about Mars and Chiron and the dance that they're doing for us all right now. And as well, we'll finish up our little orientation that we were doing with the human design chart yesterday. We'll take a look at the third part. And today we're going to be looking at the chart of a reflector. And hopefully Debbie Hedden is with us. There she is. Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, Rebecca and Wendy. Good morning, and Crystal. Good morning. She says, I hate that I work at 8 a.m. You love that you work at 8 a.m. and then you get your day done and then you are on your way. Right, Crystal? Good morning, Mimi. It's good to see everybody out there this morning. So just a quick couple of things before I totally forget to tell you about this. While I'm gone next week, I have set up and scheduled Facebook posts to come out on the Living Astrology Facebook page so that you guys will always know what's going on during the day or during each day while I'm gone. So be going to the Living Astrology page at 7 a.m. That's when I've directed it to post, 7 a.m. my time. And you'll be able to catch up with the energy of the day. Unfortunately, it's not video. It's written. You'll actually have to read something, but at least you won't be wondering what the heck is going on all week. And the biggest news next week, of course, is Jupiter turning retrograde. And there's a couple of other, things. I think that's the biggest one other than, Thursday looks to be a bit of a scritchy day next week. The rest of the week doesn't seem to have too many problems associated with it. But you'll definitely have access to what is going on day by day. So good morning, Vicky. Good morning, Debbie. Debbie says two more days. Colleen, good morning. And Vanita, good morning. So let's get to it. What do we have going on here today? Well, today's energy is actually kind of interesting because we start the day fairly soon here. So 8:36 this morning with the moon turning void of course. And that means it's already made all the new connections that it's going to make before it goes into Aries this evening at 7:57 p.m. my time. That'll be 10:57 p.m. for all of you on the East Coast. So the entire of the workday for us on the West Coast and a good chunk of the workday for all of you on the East Coast is going to be in the void of course. And of course, that means, the energies don't really support starting something new. The energies are sort of slowing down. It might be a great day to clean off the desk or get things finished that you've been working on behind the scenes. It might be a really good day to do some meditation or spiritual work. It isn't going to be a great day, however, to get things started. And for all of us out there, we're sort of feeling like that. Those motors are starting to kick in. I noticed it myself this morning, and I was getting a little bit scattered as I have lots to do, many projects to work on. I still have writing to finish. I have a reading to do today. So I, I'm already feeling that Mars and Gemini energy that can start seeing you move off in 50 different directions, right? So we all have to take a little bit of extra caution and force ourselves a bit to focus on what's in front of us, whether that's a project we're in the middle of, a conversation we're in the middle of, packing that I'm in the middle of, or whatever it is that is going on in your world. Focus right now comes at a premium. Gemini in Mars or Mars in Gemini tends to scatter the energy a bit. And in that, we tend to lose focus. Or 9 times out of 10, what happens is there's so many things going on, so many things that you need to do, where your to-do list may be getting ever longer, that you tend to start, you know, hopping around, getting things partially done, jumping to the next thing and working a little bit on that. And indeed, that's like an accident waiting to happen, right? Forgetting something, putting out the wrong words, saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things. So slow it down a bit, right? The moon still is in Pisces today, at least up until the point it changes signs this evening. So slow it down and prepare, perhaps do the background work for whatever it is that you are getting ready to launch into come the new moon, which is on Friday morning, very early. I'm going to take a quick moment here. My printer was behaving badly this morning, and I want to tell you that the new moon occurs on Friday at 1:51 a.m. if you're on the West Coast. So what's that going to be? 4:51 a.m. for you all on the East Coast. So we literally begin our day Friday with the new moon in Aries. And the new moon in Aries is the one that I really always think of as the starting point, even though the astrological new year began on the 20th with the spring equinox, the first new moon really launches us out there. So the first new moon of the astrological year is this Friday. And as we look at that new moon, then what is a new moon about? Many of you are going to ask that question. Some of you are new here and you may not have been with us as we've talked about these things off and on. So let me just remind you, the new moon is a portal or a gateway, an entry point, a choice point. There are many different ways that we can describe it, but it opens up new energy for us and then allows us to make new decisions, start new projects, set intentions, manifest new things according to the energy that is available to us. Now, another part of that is about where is Aries in your chart, right? We talk about it here in general terms. In fact, I've already written a blog post that will come out Friday morning for you all. I'll be flying away, but my words will be coming out to you. And I think I set it for 7 or 8 a.m., maybe earlier. So you will have everything you need to know in writing about the new moon on Friday as well. I love that we can schedule our words to come out at points into the future. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but while I'm on the ship, I'm not going to be able to get on Facebook or do any of my normal video in the morning. So the only way to do it was to write ahead of time. And it just so happens Facebook rolled out a new thing that you could schedule your posts, at least on your pages. I don't know about you as a person, as an individual, but anyway, the new moon information will be coming out. So if you forget everything I'm saying here today, don't panic. You're going to have it at your fingertips on Friday morning. So the new moon in Aries, then what is Aries energy about? Well, plain and simple, it is the energy of new beginnings. Anything really, literally, that you want to begin is at the beck and call of your imagination, your creativity, the stating of your words, the setting of your intentions, and your intention to manifest, and then blank, fill in the blank. So I want to manifest, turn my phone off. So if you want to manifest a new beginning in your career, a new beginning in a relationship or in a financial picture, whatever, this is the opportunity that's coming up for you. Now, you'll also want to take a look at your personal astrology chart. We talked about that earlier in the week, right? I went through the chart. I showed you where the houses were. And if you know what the sign of Aries looks like, and here, I'm going to show you, I'm going to circle it in my little chart here and put it up in front of you. But I'm using a different screen. Here we go. Can you see? Okay, hold on. Never mind. I'm going to highlight it. It looks like a big V. And I'm going to make it darker because it's in red. And that doesn't always translate very well onto the screen. So here we go. This is what Aries looks like in your chart. Right? It looks like that little, and if I can hold still, there we go. That is the sign of Aries. Now, right now, the chart that I'm holding is a chart of the moment. So it's just what I print just before I go on air in the morning. And it's telling me that Aries is sitting in the 12th house. Now, this chart isn't for a person, so it really holds no real meaning other than that right now it is the sign of Taurus that's on the eastern horizon, and Aries is intercepted within this 12th house, but it isn't a person, so it doesn't hold meaning. But if this was a person and they looked at their chart and saw that Aries was inside the 12th house, the new moon for them would have helped get them to be able to bring up things from the unconscious patterns and self-sabotage, limiting beliefs, fears, blocks, all of those things, enabling them to bring them up to the surface for healing and release. So that would be what the 12th house was about. If you have this going on in your 10th house, let's say, then the new beginning is around your career, perhaps, and you know how it is that you're showing up in the outer world. If it's in your second house, it might be new beginnings around money. Fourth house, new beginnings around your home or family or your foundations. So depending on where it is in your personal chart is where it is that the most potential is for your new beginnings. I hope that makes sense for everybody. Now, let's see, checking in. Good morning, Gina Rose. What's up for Gemini? Gemini, now, when you get the post on Friday, what I did is I went around the zodiac and I said, here's what's going on for you if you're a Gemini, if you're a Capricorn, if you're a blank, 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 right? All 12 signs. For us Geminis, the new moon is in the natural third house. And that means that networking, socializing, speaking, communicating, teaching, learning are all the new beginnings that we have access to, right? Your community, the strengthening of your community, the strengthening of your bond with your siblings, perhaps, is available for you at this new moon. Now, that's just generalization, right? Because most of you aren't going to have, you know, your Aries sitting at the third house. And I'm a Gemini and my own Aries is sitting up at the 10th house, right? So we have to be very careful that we don't just make generalizations, but a generalization will give you a little bit of an idea of what is up for you or what is possibly coming up new for you. But you'll be able to see that again on Friday. I did all 12 signs as well as the general information for the new moon. Gina, thank you. I'm waiting for some big news. Well, that's, you know, the news house, right? That is, a lot of journalists have information, a lot of planets either in the third house, which is ruled by Gemini, or, have a lot of planets in Gemini, particularly Mercury. So there you have that. Gina, good morning. Oh, yes. Thank you, Gina. Lynn, good morning to you. Rebecca, amazing. I really appreciate all the work you prepared for us. It's, you know, I've discovered something and it's kind of funny because I sit here, I have my desk and my office is in my bedroom. I have about a quarter of the room here devoted to my office. This is where my books are, my paper, my printer, my computer, everything, right, that I use is right here. When I sit here to write, I am stuck. But if I take my little computer and my books and my paper and my pens and I move my little butt out to the dining room and sit at the table there, I am like a writing machine. I have no clue what that's about. But yesterday I did 5 blog posts for everybody. 5. I would never have been able to do that sitting here. I don't know what that is, but now when I need to write, when I need my brain power, when I need my writer's creativity, I go up to the dining room table, park my little white butt there, and write. Weird, huh? Maybe the feng shui is better up there for that kind of process. I don't know, but it's a great discovery, and I've tested it several times over the last few days and the last week and a half, actually, and it works every time. Move up there, and things flow. So maybe it's because I can see the water out there. I can see the trees and the grass. Maybe I feel more connected to nature, where here I'm kind of in a corner. I don't see much. Who knows? We shall see. Anyway, excellent timing on a personal basis, Aries new moon and Aries rising, and yes, 12th house, woohoo. Yep, that's a great one, Mimi, because the 12th house is a scary place for a lot of people. I mean, astrologers themselves often, you know, cringe. Oh, I gotta tell this person they have 12th house stuff going on. But in reality, the 12th house is really, it's a place of uncovering of the hidden motivations, hidden sabotaging behaviors, hidden unconscious patterns that are running your life without your conscious approval, right? So it's a place filled with a lot of potential. And if you use it like an onion, right, unpeeling all the different layers, you finally get down to the truth of who you are, the light that you are. So there's really nothing to be afraid of in the 12th house. But because it has the connotation of being the house of prison, of limitation, I think it got a bad rap. But when you uncover everything there is to find out in the 12th house, you discover that you've been the one holding the key all along. And interesting, right? So, okay. So let me take a look at, back again at the new moon chart, because I'm sure there's more that I wanted to tell you about that new moon. So the new moon occurs, like I said, at 1:51 a.m. or 4:51 a.m. for you all on the East Coast. The moon and sun sit together at a new moon. They are in a conjunction. Not too far behind the new moon is the planet Chiron. In fact, Chiron will be the last body that the moon hits before it conjuncts the sun. And that means there's healing potential here with this particular new moon. The very next planet that the moon hits after the new moon is Eris, discord, disruption. So this could be a bit of a crazy lunation. You may find yourself actually having to agree to let go of something in order to create a new beginning. You know, what if you've always adhered to the belief that the only job you could hold is in a real world business, right? Actual maybe brick and mortar business, or that you always had to be an employee of someone else. And really, maybe your true heart, your true inclinations are to be in business for yourself, but you've always been afraid to do it, right? This is the time to release yourself from that fear and perhaps take the first steps toward releasing yourself from that wound on one side and using the energy of the disruption that Eris brings for us to bring you sort of that cleansing energy, that purifying energy, so that you can move on. And trust me when I say there's a lot of purifying demolition sort of energies going on. We talked about that yesterday, right? So tomorrow is the fourth. And tomorrow is the day that the South Node and Pluto are in an exact conjunction. Yesterday, we framed that across May 3rd or March 30th to April 5th, where there was this sort of Tasmanian devil energy, right? Just stirring up the pot, making new things possible. And also, as a part of that, destroying what's old. Well, you could almost look at that as purification by fire. Right? Chiron in Aries and the sun in Aries, the new moon in Aries, fire, fire, and more fire. So if we use the energy of fire, even in a forest fire, as destructive as it is, what it enables is new growth, right? There are some trees on the West Coast, by the way, in California, Northern California, and even Washington and Oregon that don't propagate unless they have fire. Isn't that interesting? They've evolved through time to use the energy of fire to open up their new seeds and to be able to plant themselves and grow. So that, you know, forest fires, as devastating as they seem to be to us, are also a process of immolation, right? Where there's destruction and then there's rebirth possibilities. So that's happening in your own life right now. What are you letting go of? What are you demolishing, destructing? And it, as a way of doing that, to open up to something new. That is what this new moon is all about. Now, does it mean that you have to destroy something in order to go on? I would say that the process of destruction perhaps has been ongoing for the last several weeks. So there may be nothing more left for you to do except to plant the new seeds, to start the new beginning, right? So not all of that's happening on Friday, not all of that's happening tomorrow, but it has been sort of an ongoing process, just kind of coming to a crescendo. And now what we see is the possibility of the new, of the where do we go from here? What comes next for us? All right. Any questions about any of that? If you do, put them in the chat. And let's see. Good morning, Veva. I haven't seen you out there in a long time. I was just thinking about you the other day and wondering what was up for you. So how spectacular that you would show up in here this morning. Good morning to anybody else that has checked in. Wendy says, what about Sagittarius? Wendy, I'm a Gemini, so I remembered mine. I would bet yours is in the ninth house and the new moon, that is. And the ninth house is about expanding your horizons, growth and expansion, using optimism as a way to see to the future and to plant, if you will, the seeds for that growth and for that expansion, but doing it in a very deliberate and profoundly step-by-step process. So that would be, but I don't know, like I said, where Sagittarius is in your personal chart. So you would have to look to your personal chart for that information. By the way, if you're new to the morning show here or to the Meta Cafe, you can go to my website and you can request a free human design chart or a free natal chart or both. I don't put any limits on it. Astrology.com. Here you go. There's my website, www.living-astrology.com. Request a free chart. And unless you're requesting that tomorrow or the next day or on into next week, you will have to wait until I come back the week of the 14th in order to get that chart. But there's no harm in asking for it ahead of time. I'll see all those when I get back. But it's a great way to have your chart in front of you. I'm going to tell you guys something that I told the group that gets to listen to the April webinar, that tuned in to the April webinar, is that make yourself a little folder or a little notebook. Like I think I've showed it to you before. I have a notebook that I keep all my charts in, all of the reports that I've gotten. I keep them all together so that it is sort of like my own storybook of me. And my astrology chart is in there. My holographic profile from the Gene Keys is in there. My human design chart is in there. And that way, I always have that. I can just reach in and say, oh, that's where that is. Because even though I'm an astrologer, I don't always remember, like, what degree is the moon at in my chart? I do remember that one. But where is Jupiter in my chart? I know it's somewhere in Aquarius. Oh, yeah, 6 degrees. I just pull out the chart and it's there. So make yourself maybe just a file folder or a little notebook or some kind of place where you can keep all of the charts and all of your notes about what you're learning about you. Keep them together, open them up in the morning show when we're talking and say, oh, Janet said the new moon is in Aries and Aries looks like the horn. So there's Aries. That's my, fourth house. That means home, right? So do that for yourself as a way to help you learn everything that we are talking about here in the morning. Oop, there goes my pen. All righty. So, any questions about the new moon? Anything else about that? Colleen, my Aries is in my ninth house. Maybe I will become a Buddhist monk or Catholic nun after all. That ninth house does have a lot to do with spirituality, our viewpoint on religion or spirituality or metaphysics, whatever it is that, your belief system is. It's there in the ninth house. The idea would be to broaden that, right? And to be able to see how maybe you can deepen your own spiritual practice. For you, Colleen, or maybe maybe it is time for you to maybe hooking up with I don't mean hooking up in that way either, but meeting up with someone who is of the Buddhist faith and seeing if there's something you might learn from that person. So all of these are exciting possibilities. Gina Rose, I applied for a different position at my job. That's awesome. Now, likely Gina. Usually I tell people to start with the new moon. We are in the closing phase of the moon right now. So sometimes things don't go very far when we try to start something new at the end of a moon phase, but that's just the generalized moon phase. I don't know what your personal moon phase is right now. So there may be some time lag on that. Don't get depressed or sad or upset or impatient. Wait. If it's meant to be, it will happen. And Debbie says, me too, Colleen, or just go to Iceland. Hey, that's so funny you say Iceland because I got a note this morning from Anne, who joins us here in the morning, and she and her husband are headed to Iceland. I don't know, maybe you knew that, Colleen. They're headed to Iceland for his 50th birthday party. What a wonderful place to be. although it might be kind of cold there. What degree is the new moon in? Good question, Asa. It is at 15 degrees of Aries. It is at that midpoint, right? The midpoint. Remember when we've talked about this before, anything at the midpoint is, it's at that tilt, right? It's past halfway through the sign. And we've had the classroom learning. Now we're in the demonstration of our skills learning, right? So, you know, if you're going to nursing school, you spend what, I don't know how many years in classroom experience, and then you go out and you're an intern, or you're have an externship or a clinical or something like that, right? So we are at the point in time where our Aries energy is tilting us over into demonstrating our mastery of Aries energies, new beginnings, boldly going, taking initiative, being independent in new ways in the outer world. I hope that makes sense for everybody. Linda is a little late, but she made it. Good morning, Alex. It's great to see all of you here. Lynn says there are some that do astrology feng shui for your house. Not sure what it's called exactly, but went to a meetup astrology talk about it. Wow, that's interesting. Thank you, Lynn. I might have to look that up. Patricia, the bedroom is for resting the body and mind, so it would be great for being active. Who knows? I don't know either. Good morning, Suzanne. Do it. Get your charts. Suzanne says that's the best thing she ever did for herself. And Suzanne says, can I still get one of those books? Are you talking about this book? The Energy Almanac? If so, if that's what you're looking to get, yes, you absolutely can. And if you want me to, I will post that link for you because it is still available for purchase, even while we are preparing for 2020's version of this. This is the book that I participated in with an artist, Tam Vayu, and she did the artwork for all of the astrological information that I provided for this almanac. And it's filled with other information about essential oils, about what movement blends with what's going on, affirmations, creative coaching, all kinds of goodies in that book. So yes, it is still available. And I would encourage anybody, if you haven't purchased that book yet, buy that book. The sheets for each month are tear out, and you can frame them or put them on your wall. One of our listeners, Laura Hammer, she showed me one day when we were having a Zoom call, she has them up on her wall right in front of her, so she sees what the energy is for the day. It's kind of cute. Okay, now let's talk about Mars and Chiron, and then we're going to get back to our human design chart that we were looking at. And Debbie Hedden, I have your chart up, so it's what I'm going to be taking a look at for everyone today. Mars and Chiron are in a sextile relationship today. Sextile is a 60-degree angle. That relationship is one of positive sharing of gifts and talents between the two. Mars is about action and assertion and movement forward, while Chiron is the healing path to the wounds that we carry from birth or from even other lifetimes that we are expressly here to heal. So these two coming together then form a pathway, an action step maybe even toward your healing or toward what it is that you're here to teach that helps in other people's healing. It is also something that you feel driven to do. Now, I'm going to give you kind of a clue if you want to know, like, where is your Chiron operating in your own life? Usually, Chiron shows up in your life as something that you do really well for others that you can't seem to do for your own self very well. Like a financial planner whose own finances are in disarray, yet they help hundreds of people a month get their own finances in good working order, you know, investing correctly, saving correctly, and all of that, right? But yet in their own world, their own life, they don't have the ability to do that. So in our own lives, if you can look to what it is you can do really well for other people, but struggle with for yourself, that is your Chiron. And your healing path forward right now then is that you can do for you as well, right? Mars in the sign of Gemini, meaning there might be new ideas, new creative, you know, sparks, maybe a chance conversation with somebody that you connect to and you go, wow, that's how I can solve this problem. That's the solution. That's where I go. That's how I do it. So that is also available to us today as Mars is at 2 degrees of Gemini and Chiron is at 2 degrees of Aries. So we're blending the initiative, the independence, the drive of Aries with the curiosity and the thirst for knowledge that Gemini carries. So I like that. Any questions about how that is playing out in your worlds? Gail, good morning. Joining late. Good day to see all. It's great to see you. Asa, my Jupiter is 14 Aries in fifth house. Will new moon be in conjunction? You bet it will be. If your Jupiter is at 14 Aries, the last planet the moon will hit for you personally is going to be Jupiter. So it, you know, sometimes I think of the moon as a chronometer, a timing device, the hand on the clock. I could hear always ticking, tick, 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 right? The moon is like that second hand or that minute hand in your clock. It points to timing. And if we use the moon as timing, then what's being triggered for you is an expansion in the fifth house, which is joy and creativity and love and romance and play and risk-taking. Now, risk-taking, as we've talked about before this year, is about being calculated in what you're doing. I think we talked about the fact that Jupiter in Sagittarius is really kind of wanting us to be very optimistic and big, go home, go big or go home. But we have Saturn and Pluto in the very conservative sign of Capricorn. So they're pointing us in the direction of deliberate step-by-step growth, not this giant growth. Okay. In your personal case then, Asa, the moon is triggering Jupiter's growth, but in a much more systematic, deliberate risk-taking mode. So what are you going to dare to do? Right? What are you going to dare to do? And then doing that in a stepwise fashion. So definitely a big one for you, because that doesn't happen all that often, right? Where the moon is going to, the new moon is going to be sitting at Jupiter, and Jupiter being a benefic puts you in the pathway of growth and expansion. Gail, so does Chiron, when it's in our sign, affect us each differently? Is that correct? Yes. Chiron is going to show up in many different ways and for many different people, because your chart is different and the connections that Chiron makes in your chart are different. And interestingly enough, because Chiron wasn't discovered until 1977 or 1978, somewhere around there, for those of us who were already born then, we didn't start to experience Chiron until some incident occurred to us or in our lives, you know, around that age that we were in 1977 and 78. Those of you born after that were born with Chiron already activated. It was already activated in the collective at the time you were born. So it may play out differently. For those of you who are, let's see, 1977, I'm not sure how old you would be. I want to say 44, maybe 45. Your wound, if you're over that age, your wound you were born with before that, it would have happened whatever age you were in 1977 and 78. You'll be able to pinpoint it likely. I know I can almost pinpoint to the day that my Chiron wound was triggered, and it was powerful, but I didn't realize it was a Chiron trigger then. I wasn't into astrology at that point because I was really only 16 at that point in time. So anyway, that's Chiron for you. All right, so Debbie's going to be leaving in a few minutes, so I am going to transition very quickly over to human design. And hold on, I'm going to show my desktop screen. So here we go again with me trying to figure out if you all can see what I'm doing. And let's do this application window. Hold on. I'm going to do something really quickly. Debbie, there you are. Now I should be able to find her. Okay. So all of you should be seeing Debbie Hedden's chart. Her birthday, by the way, is just the day before mine, but not in the same year. And I was a generator. So things change, right? But we have the same sun, earth here. The rest is a little bit different. And here is what a projector's chart, I mean, a reflector's chart looks like. I'm going to back this off so you can all see that all of the centers are open here. And all she has is these little hanging gates. There are quite a few of them. And as the moon and other planets transit through her chart, it will turn on these different centers. So for example, let's see if I can find one here. The Earth, let's find one today that I can tell you is turned on. The moon today, today's the third. By the way, today is my 37th wedding anniversary. I cannot believe I've been married to the same person for that many years, and I love him as much, if not more today than I did the day I married him. And if you're watching, Terry, I love you. All right, 22, let's see, that's not defined. Let's look at 36, that's already defined. 25 is already defined. Okay, so we're not going to find it in the moon. Let's look at 21, let's look at 48. Awesome. So right now the Earth is sitting at gate 48, and I hope you guys can see my cursor. Let me go back to my screen really quickly and just make sure you all are seeing my screen. You're not. Okay. Because Janet is a bonehead. There we go. Now it's solo. Now you should be seeing the chart. Thank you guys. Will someone just check in with me and say, yes, you're seeing the chart, or no, you're not seeing the chart? I'm seeing it, so you guys must be seeing it, right? Okay. So in Debbie's chart then, today, with the Earth sitting at 48, this now completes this whole channel from the gate 16 up at the throat to the gate 48 in the spleen. And that means these two centers are now colored in. If I were to pull a transit chart for her, we would see the throat colored in and we would see the spleen colored in. Temporarily, this week, she has access to the enthusiasm and mastery energy that comes in this particular channel. But it might also mean that where she normally doesn't feel inadequacy in any way, shape, or form, she feels inadequate. Or she's questioning herself, or she's thinking she needs more knowledge before she can do something. Or she's thinking that unless she gets another degree, she can't do what she wants to do. The real pathway here and the real high side of these two turning on for Debbie is that she might be able to see more clearly what she really is mastering in her life, how far she's come, and enthusiastically then be able to move forward with her plans to execute whatever it is that she's doing in her life. So Debbie, you go, girl. You have that energy at least for the rest of the week, no, through tomorrow. And then the energy is going to shift. And, then you're going to come over here and have energy between these two centers. You might have some kind of a shock that happens or some kind of an initiation as you move into the next week. So knowing these things, so for a reflector, if there's any type out there that should get a reading, it should be a reflector. And that's simply because these are rhythmic things that change. We can count the days every month that the moon is going to be at a certain gate and it's going to turn on certain energies. And if you know that, then you can plan your month accordingly, right? If you know that you need the energy of a defined throat because you have a big speech to give, then you plan to do that on one of the days that the moon is sitting at a gate that completes a channel to the throat, right? So it's huge what you can do in terms of transits for a reflector. Now, what we were really going to talk about today is this bottom half of the chart. Now, here is where you get the overview, where you can actually, let's see if I can make this a little bit bigger and still be able to, there we go. So the overview here tells you your type, and the type, every type has a conditioning theme and has a strategy. So the conditioning theme isn't something that you are doomed to keep feeling. Like, there is no reason why a reflector is doomed to always be disappointed in life. That isn't what this means, but it means that if you're feeling disappointment, then likely you're not living according to your strategy of simply waiting 28 days before you enter into anything big in your life. So if you're constantly leaping into things and, trying new things, doing new things without waiting through your 28-day cycle, then you're doomed for disappointment. But when you wait and then you jump, then the disappointment disappears, right? It's gone. It isn't there. So when, and you know, if you are a reflector and you can look back over your life and see what times in your life have you been feeling disappointment? What did you enter into that didn't live up to your expectations, right? And maybe you entered in against the timing in your own chart. So it is one of the more difficult strategies. A strategy in human design is a way for you to use your energy so that you are always authentically engaged in your life and with authority in your life. So strategy, simply wait. The conditioning theme, if you didn't wait, likely you're going to experience some kind of disappointment. So let's just briefly talk about other types really quickly. If this says generator in your chart, your conditioning theme is going to be frustration. Your strategy here is going to say to wait to respond. And that's because generators wait for something to show up in their outer world to respond to. And that's how they know that they're entering into things appropriately. If they get a great creative idea and they decide to leap into that, likely they're going to experience their conditioning theme of frustration because it was coming from within them and not outside of them. If this says manifesting generator, then you are very similar to the generator where your conditioning theme is frustration, but we might also add anger in there because you have an additional strategy of informing people before you take action. And if you are taking action or changing midstream, you might find that people are put in your path to resist that, or they put up blocks or, you know, get upset with you. So the best way for a manifesting generator is to wait to respond to what shows up in your outer world. Then when you choose to make a change or do something different, you inform the people around you that will be affected by that decision. Simply inform. You're not asking permission. If this says projector here, if you are a projector, then this conditioning theme is total went blank. I think it's disappointment as well. And that might be because you might not get heard, valued, or recognized because you want to jump in there, lead, guide, and help and manage people. But unless you have an invitation, because your strategy is to wait for the invitation, if you don't have that, then you can get disappointed as well. And I know there's another word, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, maybe if you have your chart in front of you, look at it for me. Tell me what that word here is. If you are a manifester, your conditioning theme is anger, and anger because your strategy is really the big one in terms of informing people before you take action. When a manifester just goes out and does, likely someone is going to get in their face and say, what are you doing? Why did you do that? That's not right. Now I'm mad. Now I'm upset. And you as the manifester are going to get upset because they're blocking your path forward, or they've questioned your authority, or they, you know, are putting up some form of resistance that you didn't want to have to deal with. So simply tell people ahead of time, hey, I'm going to take a vacation next week. I am not going to be in the office. I will answer your emails, however. And just informing people will clear the way, right? They can't come back at you and say, well, you didn't tell me. But by the other token, manifestors also like to be informed. If you're a manifestor, you don't like it when other people take action without including you in that decision. Right? So that's the same thing that you expect from others as well. So inform, and then your conditioning theme of anger doesn't blow up in your face. All right. Profile. The profile is really, if you think about your life as a play, and there are all of these characters on your stage of your life, the profile is the role that you're playing in the play, right? So Debbie Hedden here is playing the role of the heretical investigator. So there's a part of Debbie, the role five. We call this line five the line of seduction. And there's a lot of ability for people with the line five prominent in their life, and hers is prominent, to be able to convince others to join them in whatever adventure they're joining up to. And then the people that get enjoined in whatever it is can sometimes come back and blame you for their insufficiency, for their inability to be successful. So you're really playing with the line five as a karmic mirror to people. And you really aren't meant to take the blame, but you're there. You stand as a mirror to them about where it is they're not right with themselves, or where it is that they are not taking responsibility for themselves. So sometimes that's a difficult path. And people with the line five often want to run and hide, like they want to be away and not seen, but they're always visible, right? The line one part of this, the investigator part, is someone who needs info, who, you know, if you hear about a new thing, you're going to be on the internet or in the library or in your books looking for information because you have that investigative spirit. So the investigator here looks for information. It's very Gemini-ish, I think, right? Or Sagittarian, looking for the deeper answers, the deeper dive into info before you make decisions. The line five also sort of helps that. I'm going to give you a great example of what happens sometimes to the fifth line. And I'm going to use an example of network marketing. So let's say you're a doTERRA representative, someone doTERRA oils, or there's another brand of oils. I kept Living, Young Living. So, you know, and that is a network marketing company. And in that, your job is to go out and recruit people to join you in selling these wonderful products. So part of it is sales of the product itself, but the other part of it is that you have to recruit new people to build your network. And you're very successful, let's say, at this, Debbie. You're doing great. And the people that you're recruiting, they expect to be able to do exactly what you're doing. If they can't, and or somehow they fail, their first inclination might be to blame you. So here we have a situation where you have to be able to say to someone, I invite you to look within and see why it is that you're experiencing that energy, right? That's your five-line profile. It is the role you're here to play on the planet. No escaping this one. The second line here tells you the your incarnation cross. And I'm going to swing back up here really quickly to show you all where the incarnation cross comes from. The incarnation cross is the combination of the personality sun, the personality earth, and you can see they're both in the line five here. So that's the fifth line profile, right? It comes from right here. But the cross is actually coming from her personality sun at gate 12, the personality earth at gate 11, and the design sun at gate 25, and the design earth at gate 46. Taken together, the four of those gates create what is called the left angle cross of education. You and I are cut from the same cloth. I have that very same left angle cross, Debbie, and it is that we are here to teach. And you can do that in any number of ways. I come on here in the morning. What I'm doing right this minute is in support of the left angle cross that I have in my own chart. So the left angle, by the way, part of this is, it's a little deeper than what I'm going to explain right now, but essentially a left angle cross has transpersonal karma. It means that on the soul level, before you incarnated, you made agreements with other souls to meet up at a specific place and time in your timeline to educate them, perhaps, or to help them on their path. And so the left angle cross is often satisfying some kind of karmic agreement with the people that are in their lives, where the other opportunity here is the right angle cross. So some of you may see this as the right angle cross, which is personal karma. and personal, meaning that you didn't necessarily have any blanket agreements to help others, but in some ways that you're meeting up with people at the right time in the right place to forward your own education in this world, right? So, or your own path forward. So that's what we mean by the left angle or the right angle crosses. Definition. She has no definition in her chart. Definition here would say that you have, some of yours may say no definition. Some may say single definition. Some may say triple split definition. Some may say double, or not double, it would just say split definition. So there's different kinds of definition. And what that means, if you're looking at the chart here, is that if you have these colored in somewhere in your chart, let's say you have the head and the ajna colored in, and then maybe you have the will center and the emotional center colored in, but they are not connected, right? So these two are connected and these two are connected, but these four are not interconnected. So that would be a split definition. You would have two distinct definitions or two distinct expressions of your energy being broadcast to the world. Now, other people in their charts have like a seamless pathway between all of their centers that are defined, and they're all interconnected. So they would have single definition, right? There's no split going on. Some people, like my husband, has triple split definition. He has the head najna defined. He has, I think it's the identity center and the will center defined, and then the spleen and the root, but they are not all three interconnected. That is what you would call triple split definition, because there would be three groups of centers that are defined, but not connected to one another. Okay, I know that sounds a little complex, but it does tell us more about the person and how they are working the light, their lifetime. So someone with a split definition may feel like there's two distinct parts of themselves that are vying for expression. Triple split may have three distinct parts of themselves that are vying for attention. And it's rare, but I have seen people that are quadruple split, where they have four distinct parts of themselves. And the only way to be able to get those parts to work together, you might suspect, is to have other people around them that bridge those connections. So they need to be out and about. They can't, you can imagine, let's say this was a hermit line. And even so, Debbie, this is a line here, or this is a profile that's fairly quiet, fairly behind the scenes, or wants to be behind the scenes. And if you had a triple split definition and you had this more withdrawn energy, it would be a conundrum in your life, because you would always feel better when you were out and around people because all of your energy centers would sync up. But you might feel like while you're out, like, I want to go back home. I want to be, you know, in my own home. I want to be in the quiet. So it's an interesting conundrum that shows up. So inner authority, this is going to tell you what center, if any, are your best decision-making energies. Now, in a reflector, of course, none of these centers are defined, so she can't have authority. Her authority is no authority. She has no inner authority. Her authority comes when she's out and about in the world talking to other people. By reflection, she is going to see what is true for her when she is in conversation with others or when she's out in the world. Some of you may have the emotional, sacral, or the spleen as your authority. Some of you that are manifestors may have the ego center as your authority. It just tells you what your decision-making, your final decision-making tool is. So for example, if you have the emotional center and you're a generator, you are waiting to respond to what shows up in your outer world. And if it's something important or something big, you have to wait for emotional clarity because your authority is about the emotional center. If you have the sacral as your authority, and this can only be a generator, or I think a manifesting generator can have this, and that would be that it is the inner body, yes or no, uh-huh or uh-uh, that happens in the moment that tells you whether you are on the right path or not. Yesterday when we were looking at Michelle's chart, she had sacral authority. It is the body that says uh-huh or go away in the moment that there is something to respond to. And the spleen is intuition. So you have if you have the splenic, it'll say splenic generated or splenic projected. The spleen then is your place of authority, and that is your intuition, right? All right, so I'm going to stop sharing my screen for a minute, and which means I also have to close that out. Now I'm on the screen. What about questions, comments, bitterness? Thank you, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. If you are a projector, your conditioning theme is bitterness, and likely that is happening because other people are getting heard, valued, and recognized for something that you first implemented or you first put out there to the world. They didn't recognize you for it, and now you're bitter because that person gets all the credit. And it comes from not waiting for the invitation to engage your voice, to engage your energy in a project. Thank you so much, Debbie. I can't believe I forgot that word. Okay. Yes, projectors can have splenic authority too, Lynn. And splenic is often the most dominant one that I see for projectors. And that is their intuition, their ability to tune in, to know in the moment. It's knowing in the moment. It's not the body telling you in the moment. It's more instinctual, like a knowingness that says, go that direction. Don't do that. Don't go that way. And in that moment, if you listen, you find yourself in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunity. If not, if you take the other direction, then you have this circuitous route, hopefully back to where you were meant to be, but you've wasted time. You get maybe, you know, frustrated or bitter, etc. So Gail, being a manifester is frustrating a lot, trying to take charge and make quick decisions. Uh-huh. So tell me about, so quick decisions, you're designed for that, girl. I don't know what kind of authority you have, though. If you have emotional authority, which you can have as a manifester, then the frustrating part is the wait before I need to make this decision. I want to take action, but also knowing that you have to wait through your emotional wave, right, to see where you are feeling good about it or not. So that can be really frustrating. And taking charge, manifestors can take charge. I'm not going to tell you you can't, but before you take charge, you need to get the agreement of other people who will be affected by that decision. So that means, like, let's say you're in a group of women, you know, you're all sitting around and you're trying to get a project done, but there's nobody that's really stepping up to the plate and saying, I'll take charge of this, right? So you can do that. You can say, well, if nobody else has an objection, I will become the chairwoman of this group. And you've just said that, right? I'm taking charge here. And now is their opportunity. If they're going to have a problem with it, they can speak to that. And you guys have a pathway then to a communication or a discussion. But if you just take charge and put yourself first, or, you know, put yourself in that position, you may encounter resistance from other people who feel like you just jumped over them. I hope that makes sense. And it doesn't always work out as smoothly as I'm intimating, by the way. It sometimes has other, you know, twists and turns that you've got to, you know, manage as well. But usually those things work really well like that. Okay. So Debbie Hedden had to leave. So, you know, and the same thing with anybody else who came in late or who had to leave us early. You can see the YouTube video of this later, or come back to the Living Astrology Facebook page where the video is for all to watch. See any other comments or questions here that I missed? Bitter for a projector. Disappointment for a reflector. There we go. Wendy Cheery says, try being a Sag with ADHD. Now, you know, there are gates in your human design that when they are defined can make you feel like you have ADHD. And I have a couple of those. I do not have ADHD, but there are times when I feel like I do, like my mind has gone off somewhere else and my mouth is over here talking. And then I come back and I'm like, what was I doing? Or I'm running off in 10 different directions, right? Those gates sometimes create that feeling of ADHD. Same thing with depression. There are gates in and centers, the emotional center in your human design, that can make you believe you're bipolar, that can make you believe you're depressed. And it is not necessarily a clinical kind of experience. It is how you're using your energy. How is the energy showing up in your life? All right. Well, guys, that is all I have for this morning. It's hard to believe an hour has already gone by. If you have any questions, feel free to put them, you know, up on the Facebook page. Remember, if you want access to me personally to be able to help you go through your own chart, you can join the Living Astrology Academy, specifically the membership group, and have access to the Living Astrology Forum, which I do the day after I get back from my trip. And if you join now, you will be able to participate in that, bring your charts to the forum where we discuss it. You can ask your personal questions and get guidance on what is going on for you. But I only have that available right now for those who subscribe to the membership. If you guys can hear the baby in the background, my little Y guy is here, so I'm going to go play. I hope you all have a spectacular new moon. And don't forget to join me tomorrow evening, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. East Coast time on the Ascension and Astrology page, where we are going to take up the deeply transformational energies coming up for us as we move through the approaching Saturn-Pluto conjunction and the South Node conjunct Pluto, South Node conjunct Saturn. It's deep and it's long-lasting and it is very impactful for us in the long run, especially now as we're moving in, you know, to the 2020s. So meet up tomorrow on Ascension and Astrology, and I will see you all when I return on first day back will be the 14th for those of you who are going to join me in the forum. And on the 15th, I will be back here in the Meta Cafe. Don't forget to look though for your daily updates on what's happening on the Living Astrology page. Mwah. Bye for now. I'm going to miss you all. Take care.